Good day. I'd like to ask a question as we begin the broadcast today. Are you a minister of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How you answer that question might determine a great deal how much you know about the functions of your life as a Christian. If you're not a child of God, we trust that you'll listen for the next quarter hour to find out what would be ahead in Christian living when you became a child of God. If you are a child of God, ask yourself diligently, am I a faithful minister of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you're not, we trust this broadcast will show you more completely how you can serve the Lord. I want to begin on the broadcast today as we talk about what is the church, to realize those who are a part of the church, as we said last time, were saints in Christ Jesus. They are also recognized as ministers. I'd like to go to the words of Jesus as his personal ministry unfolded. I'm looking now at the 20th chapter of Matthew's account of the gospel. Surely a chapter that you've read time and time again in your home study, and one I'm sure that has come to mean much to you. I'm going to drop down in Matthew 20 to the 20th verse. So if you're taking notes, write down Matthew 20 and 20. That's where we're beginning. Here's the reading in this sequence. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. Now this is James and John that she's talking about, who were apostles. Here's Jesus' response to the mother's request. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and of the baptism, be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. The reason the word they is used here, because James and John were a part of this with their mother. Now, before we go any farther, I don't want you to be hypercritical about this mother. I'm sure she loved the Lord. I'm sure she wanted good things for her sons, and they truly loved the Lord. But Jesus says, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, that's the ten apostles other than James and John, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise the dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now I want to emphasize that this isn't a title. I think people get completely off mark in the Bible when they put a title that this person is a minister. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not implying that people are dishonest in doing this, but the word minister implies not an office, but it simply implies a service. Now, he said, the one that's going to be great among you, why, let him be your minister or your servant. And then he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. It's just the very same thing. Here's the example. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Someone might say, what are we talking about on the broadcast today? We're talking about what every Christian truly is, a minister. I was reading just the other day from that sixth chapter of Romans that often directs our attention to other remarks. And I want to go to it on the broadcast today, and if you're taking notes, as many of you do, just especially look at the sixth chapter of Romans and consider verses 16 through 18. Now, here's a teaching that came by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul. He asks a question in verse 16. Know ye not, or don't you know, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And then we have this comment, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Now this is saying the same thing, that one becomes a saint in Christ Jesus, that one becomes a child of God, that one becomes a minister. You see, in our religious hierarchy today, we have the tendency, probably with all honesty, to put certain titles upon certain individuals. Now, the Lord has instructed us that there are certain things that must be recognized as the office that is to be carried out, like an elder or a deacon. But every Christian is a minister. Every Christian has a ministry to perform. So he says here in the 6th chapter of Romans, when you obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which is the gospel, you became servants of righteousness. Now we know they became sons of God. We know they were born again. We know they were added to the church. We know they became a part of the family. But the church must also be recognized as being made up of those who are ministers. You know, oftentimes I walk into a circumstance where perhaps sorrow has come to a home, and a number of the sisters, with the assistance of their husbands, have come together to prepare a meal for that family. This may be before the funeral service. It may be after. And when I walk into where the sisters are working, I say, you know, you ladies are probably guilty of one thing. And, of course, they wonder what I'm talking about. Then I simply tell them to read 1 Corinthians 16:15. And that simply tells us that the house of Stephanas had addicted themselves for the ministry of the saints. You see, every Christian has a certain ministry to perform because we are servants in Christ Jesus. Jesus wanted to emphasize the importance of service. And in solving that problem with James and John and their mother, he said, if you're going to become great, you must learn to serve. And that's one of the great qualities of Christianity that may be different from a good many religions in the world. It's a great deal different than so-called Christianity that is not genuine. Now, the people may be just as honest who are following that course, but the genuine teaching of God's Word is that which brings to our mind a service that everyone has to perform. You know, we can't all perform the same service, but we can do as Jesus said. We can truly be good and faithful servants. I would call your attention to the story of the parable of the talents that's right in the middle of three outstanding stories that are found in the 25th chapter of Matthew. These are wonderful parables that bring to our minds a true message of what the Christian life would be. Jesus has talked about the parable of the virgins in the opening part of this chapter, and he says in the famous 13th verse, "Watch, for you know neither the day nor hour in which the Son of Man will come." And then he unfolds the story of a master with three servants. Two of those servants are looked upon as being good and faithful after they have served their master, but one is looked upon as being a sinful, a wicked, a slothful servant. Now they all became servants, they all obeyed the gospel. But you see, there was a service for them to perform. I say they all obeyed the gospel. He's making a comparison here to what would be true in the gospel. Jesus projecting ahead to the time of the church, to the time of the kingdom. So he talks about these three servants. He calls in one servant, and he gives him five talents. Another servant he gives two. Another servant he gives one. Now, these individuals simply could have been recognized, as two of them were, as good and faithful servants by utilizing the time, the opportunity, and the talents that had been given to them by the Lord. You know the story, I'm sure, as well as I do, and if you don't know it, be sure and read it in the middle of that 25th chapter of Matthew. The one who was given five had gained five, and the one who was given two had gained two. And in that chapter, the same percentage of gain was made, and the master simply said when he came to account for what had been done with the talents, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And then finally the one talent servant came. Oh, not being looked upon as being unfaithful because he had one talent. But the very fact that he had one talent would indicate that he could have used that one talent. But he had an argument for the Lord. The other two men didn't have to talk. They just simply let the work stand before the master, and they were accepted. They were praised. They were honored. But the other one who had the one talent came and said, "I knew you were a hard man. And I knew you were really strict about the whole situation, so I was afraid, and I buried this talent. And here it is. I brought it to you just the way it was. And the master turned the argument that had been offered by the servant against him. In saying, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, since you knew I was that kind of a person, why didn't you make an effort to put my money to work? And I would have had my own when I came with usury." Now, it's an interesting accounting, isn't it? He said you'd take this talent from this servant, and he could do it because the talent belonged to the master. And he gave it to the one who had 10, and he said, "To he who hath shall be given, and he'll have abundance. But the one that doesn't have, from him will be taken away even that that he doth have." What's this mean? This simply conveys the idea that we all have an opportunity as Christians to serve the Lord, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable in his sight. But if we bury that talent, then you see we can lose our soul. Now, this is not alone true in our public worship, but it's also true in our daily Christian living. Those sisters that were preparing the meal for a family in sorrow would never be called upon, I'm sure, to get up and exhort the church. Some of them might not teach a Bible lesson, but they with their hands were performing a valuable ministry. So the crux of this lesson today is simply use what you have in the service of God. We are all ministers together, serving him here, that we might live with him there. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ, leave the impact of this message with you. We trust that you are a child of God, that you are a servant, that you are a minister for the Lord. May God truly bless you as you obey that marvelous truth that is able to make all men free, free to serve him here, that you might indeed live with him there.